B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4 o'clock hour, Mike Missanelli Show. 4 o'clock hour, it's brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop. Create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Check them out online at landisbc.com. I've been hopping back and forth from topics, and we started out with the waiver that the Major League Baseball players are going to have to sign. And also, the NFL is thinking of adopting the same type of situation. And then there are some stories out there that maybe if they allow fans to come in, a certain number of fans, those fans will have to sign a waiver. So we're asking people, would you be down with that? And one of the things about the NFL and their start is this notion of quarantining your quarterback. Now, let's take this because people are saying, well, you wouldn't quarantine your starter because your starter needs to have the reps. He does. How about Tampa Bay? They have Blaine Gabbert and Ryan Griffin. You tell me it wouldn't be a good idea to quarantine Tom Brady?
Tom's ready for week one.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to the Eagles, they go, well, I'm just reading this analysis. I don't even know who wrote this, but depth chart of quarterback is Wentz, Nate Sudfeld, Jalen Hurts, Sudfeld, and Kyle Lauletta. So they go, for the Eagles, the idea of quarantining the third-string quarterback won't work because Hurts is a second-round rookie who's coming into the season without any spring workouts. He needs to spend as much time around Wentz and the coaching staff as possible. Forget the idea of keeping him out of the QB room.
Right.
All right. I got that. So that leaves Sudfeld and Lauletta. It's hard to imagine Eagles keeping four quarterbacks, so as Lauletta is still around, he'll be on the practice squad. But he has was 1 year under his belt, and as a young player, would probably benefit more from being with players and coaches. Well, I don't care about Kyle Lauletta. But the notion is that Wentz cannot be quarantined because he needs first-team practice reps. He's the first guy quarantined. Does he need first-team practice reps as much as he needs to be quarantined for the season? If you're thinking of quarantining, like if you decide to quarantine a quarterback because at least you'll have one who can play and it's not a good quarterback, what's the point anyway?
Yeah, you're 0-1.
Yeah, you're not going to win. So what's the point of quarantining a guy who doesn't matter just so you'll have a guy?
Yeah, you would hope that the talent alone that Carson Wentz has, reps or no reps,
right,
would be good enough to win you a
if
game.
If you have a top 7 quarterback and you're thinking of all these parameters now as you resume play with COVID-19, you almost have to quarantine your starter. Like anybody be like 10 and up, you won't. But if you have a top 10 quarterback, is it worth the risk?
Probably not. For a guy like Rodgers, no. Guy like Breeze, no.
Brady need first team reps?
Probably not.
Put him in a box.
Now, with a new team, does that have anything to do with it? With a new team, new receiver, except
well,
for
listen,
Gronk.
I'm sure it would help. But is it more important to quarantine Blaine Gabbert instead of Tom Brady? See, this is the dilemma that these teams will have to face. It's like, if we're going to think of quarantining, well, how do I put my starter out there to catch it? All right. Now, speaking of quarantining, Natalie, I got to hear you for this.
Okay.
Has Ben been shacked up with Kendall this whole time?
Not that I'm aware of, because she was on a road trip with
Devin Booker.
So I don't know if they're still together at all.
Oh, really?
I don't think that they're. No, she was during the pandemic. She was somewhere with Devin Booker. So
yeah,
they might be done
early in the pandemic. Though,
yeah,
right?
But there's been no signs of them otherwise.
Possible they're keeping it under wraps.
They could be,
because Ben, Ben would be wise to keep it under wraps.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
but I'm thinking that Ben is a single man, and they maybe like to have Kendall around.
Well, he's been
walking around in a teddy.
He's been out.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A baby doll. Oh, a little baby doll.
I know what you're talking about.
Little back end flesh.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Mike. No, I don't think that they're together anymore.
Kid.
I know.
He's got Kendall Jenner.
Well, teddies aren't like as much of a thing.
The baby doll thing,
the
little spaghetti strap baby doll. She's walking around with coffee,
right? I mean,
sleepwear,
right? Sleepwear. No, I mean, mm-hmm. No. There's been no signs of them together,
okay,
at all. So I don't know. He's out in L.A. I'm sure he probably has, a couple girls.
Well, you can't be coming. Strangers coming in.
No, it's probably
safer for him to have Kendall shacked up.
Maybe, but no signs on the internet or anywhere else have indicated that they are together.
And you know that they would know. The world would know, especially with Kendall. Not so much with Ben.
Yeah,
I mean, especially
because he's out in L.A. So,
wow, poor lonely soul.
It seems like he's been very dedicated and working really hard and in the gym with LeBron and working out, putting on that muscle.
All right, that's good. And, of course, the word is that Embiid has been working out six days a week, which I call total BS on. I'm going to tell you right now. There's no way I'm believing it.
Yeah, I'm not going to make a judgment until the first game. We get sucked into this
all the time. He's in great shape. Look at the shape he's in. He's been working out during the time he's away from the team. I'm not feeling it.
3 minutes into the game. Coach.
We'll see.
I'm not feeling it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Sub.
That's why I say I don't trust anymore. Let's go, Paul in South Jersey. Paul, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Paul.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Paul?
Not much. I got a little question for you on your list about the sandwiches.
Yes.
I agree with what you said about chicken cheesesteak being number one.
I had chicken cheesesteak five.
Oh, you had chicken
I had turkey
five.
Hoagie one, cheesesteak two, tuna Italian.
I definitely agree when you're number one then because I'm a big turkey hoagie fan.
Can't beat a turkey hoagie.
No, especially I like mayo with provolone cheese and a little oil and vinegar on it.
Yeah, see, I got mayo with the turkey. You're breaking my white meat rule.
Well,
white
like
meat has
mayo.
To go mayo.
Don't get me wrong. I like some mayo on it. I like to put the mayo on the meat like before I put the toppings in.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you why. Because the oil or the turkey brings out a little bit of a turkey aftertaste. The mayo blends in beautifully.
Yeah. But the only thing I don't have in my top five would be a tuna hoagie. I'm more like a ham and cheese.
Oh, you're a ham and cheese guy?
Whether it's domestic or imported ham and cheese.
Yeah, I got ham and cheese.
But I like mine with the provolone in it.
Okay.
And for Natalie, I have a perfect place for her. If I can mention a name, there's a deli or a bakery down here in South Jersey. If she likes a good cheese hoagie, there's a place on the Black Horse Pike in Turnersville on your way to the shore called Licio's. And they make a cheese hoagie with fresh mozzarella, sharp provolone, and Cooper sharp cheese with all the fixings.
Well, there you go.
Nice. And
there you go.
Nice.
Make a little stop on your way on your way down to the beach.
My son got it. My son is a huge cheese fan. With the cheese and mustard. My son likes his on the torpedo roll with a nice kosher pickle sliced up and put on there.
Madagascar.
That's right, the pickle.
You gotta have the kosher pickle sliced up.
Too Madagascar for me.
The pickle on his sandwich, whether it's on bread or on the roll.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, what do you got in the NHL here, Bob?
I sort of think that the NHL has a better chance of completing their run due to the fact, like you said earlier, that they're in Canada. Especially being Edmonton so far away, and that since we failed in this country to watch it, and our last chance was Vegas, and you know the players have been in Vegas, they would have been trying like the NBA players to possibly sneak out. And
Toronto's a metropolitan city, bro.
Oh, I know about
Edmonton, but the people in Toronto.
Yeah, I know, but Toronto's not like they got. If they're going to get into the state, well, there's no. Other anywhere else near them except for coming back across into the States to go to Buffalo. I mean, they're much
better. You're shortchanging Toronto as a city. That's a big time city. There's a lot to do in Toronto.
Yes, there
is. I don't know about Edmonton. I've never been.
No.
Toronto's a good time.
Where is Edmonton?
West.
Alberta province.
Oh, and okay.
See, the thing about hockey players that I would say is that they are, and I don't know why, but I just go by feel because they've done it before. They're more likely to adhere to the rules of just being around each other because they grew up that way. They live together and in houses and like junior hockey and all
that.
Makes
sense.
They have that mentality anyway. So they, to me, would be less likely to flout the rules.
Much less than the NBA.
But and in Edmonton, there's no... I mean, listen, I hope I'm not shortchanging it as a city because I don't really know it. But I got to think that Toronto is more cosmopolitan than Edmonton is.
The city.
So there's more of a lure for the Toronto teams.
Now, I guess that'll be the Eastern teams.
Now, can I ask you something about the turkey? The turkey sandwich.
Oh, the turkey sandwich question.
Okay, do you go ever with the pepper turkey? Or is it just straight turkey on your turkey?
I will occasionally venture to the different turkeys.
I'm a big fan of the pepper turkey.
Yes. Now, I'll try different turkeys. However, like the ham and cheese hoagie, to me, is just, that's like warm milk. That's the warm milk of hoagies.
I don't love ham and cheese either.
Really? Because if you're going to go ham and cheese, you go Italian. Because that at least gives it a little zest. Yeah. If you go ham and cheese hoagie?
I've been getting the same Wawa hoagie since 2005, so 15 years now. And it's a honey smoked turkey.
Yeah.
Wawa honey smoked turkey, for some reason.
For Wawa, I just go straight.
Italian?
No, straight turkey.
Oh, straight turkey.
Whatever that's called.
Okay.
Because then they got this Cajun turkey sandwich. They junk it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't go there.
I do like the Cajun. Cajun mayo.
You do? The Cajun
Anything
turkey?
Cajun, I'm in.
They have three different turkeys you can get at Wawa.
The honey smoked, right?
I don't know if they have the honey smoked.
They used to.
Yeah, it's probably. There's three different ones. But the one's Cajun. Cajun turkey.
Yeah, I'm in on that.
Yeah, I'm not. Let's go Rich in Marshville. Rich, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rich.
Good afternoon, Mike. How are you, bud?
What's up, Rich?
Andrew, Natalie. Good afternoon, folks.
They say good afternoon back to you.
Thank you. So, I'm telling you, I wanted to say I'm pretty excited about the 60-game season. Mm-hmm. What you were saying before, whatever we got to do in order to get something in, we're all for it on board. And it looks like, you know, again, anything is good right now. And let's go, baseball.
Let's go baseball. No, you don't care. These guys are taking a risk.
No, it's not about that. I think that these guys are going to do it. They're going to do it the right way. They'll figure out a way to get it done the right way, and they'll minimize the risk and they'll figure out a way to get it done. I understand the conjecture. I just think that these guys they realize what they need to do, how they're going to need to do it, and it's going to, no matter how they do it, there's going to be speculation. But I think they have the right people in the right places to get it done and get it done correctly.
I hope you're right. I mean, but whatever they do, if they get it, and God forbid it's one of them dies, they can't recover because they have to sign this waiver.
Well, we're talking about the football thing. I don't believe anyone should be signing any waivers. Once that risk is there, I think I agree with you 1,000%. Don't even enter. Just kill it immediately. Pardon the pun, but just destroy it immediately so there's no risk. I think one is way too high. So
if you were a football player, you would not sign a waiver.
Not at all. No way. Not at all.
And they're going to say, okay, well, then you don't play.
Right. And that's, again, we're talking about, you know, we have to be able to look at the scope and what it is. You have professional football players play 2 years and just say, okay, I had enough. I'm done and retire. People are like, what do you retire? So I think there's, again, just when you're in a situation, there's variables that will apply. If I could shift gears real quick, mm-hmm. Mike, if it's tuna, it's got to be albacore. I can't do the yellowfin.
Yeah, I agree. Normally, if I'm making tuna for myself, but like in a deli, their tuna is not the albacore, but they do make it a way where it's still appealing in a hoagie form.
So now I didn't know that there was. I had salty prosciutto before, mm-hmm. but I had it sliced right. I had the right quality of prosciutto, and it was the most incredible thing I ever tasted in my life. Didn't know before because I didn't have the quality prosciutto.
Uh-huh.
So that's a big, big piece.
Well, that's a good Italian hoagie that has a good prosciutto.
You have to get, it doesn't matter what it is, even if we're talking about a cheese hoagie. If you have good cheese on a good roll, then it could be delicious. And I know it's good for me, Mike. What might be good for you might not be good and tasty to me. Lastly, Mike, this is very, very important. Medagon, what are you talking about? Oh, so hoagies started in Italy? I wasn't aware.
No. Medagon is just the term. It doesn't mean directly from Italy. It means bland. It means bland. I'm not like trying to, like, Medagon to me has been a term that we use for bland.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an old school Italian thing, but we've reshaped it.
Yes.
So a cheese hoagie would be Medagon because it's bland.
Yeah, you and Anthony always call me over me.
Well, you are Medagon.
I know,
yeah,
I am.
You definitely are.
Yeah.
So Salchunas.
Yeah.
100% am.
Yeah, because total cheese doesn't work in any form.
Look, it's getting a lot of love on the internet.
Cheese is a is an accompaniment to meat.
Not
so
anymore.
You can't stand a house of cheese on its own cannot stand if it's not united or whatever that saying is.
Not anymore. It's 2020 and the cheese stands alone.
No, the cheese stands alone. The cheese cannot stand alone.
There was something to that farmer. He knew that the cheese would stand alone. Cheese stands alone in 2020, Mike. I'm telling you. You should just try it. How about I get one on Monday?
The cheese is like a bad backup quarterback.
No, it's not.
You can't win with it. The backup quarterback is an accompaniment to the starter just for because he has to be there.
I'm going
to
get
you. The cheese has to be just a simple accompaniment to the meat.
Will you try one if I bring it in on Monday?
No, I know what a cheese sandwich is or a cheese hoagie. I know what it is. It just has no appeal to me. It's a bastardization of the hoagie process.
It's not.
So the grilled cheese works. That's where it stands alone.
If there was a meme going, that's where the cheese stands alone. There was a meme going around like 2 weeks ago, and it said if you could identify as a sandwich for the rest of your life, what would you choose?
You had cheese hoagie?
I said I would identify as a grilled cheese.
All right.
That's the supreme.
It's perfectly fine.
Right.
I respect that and bow to the grilled cheese.
Right.
But the cheese hoagie, come on, good bread.
Yes.
You got to have the meat. It enhances the bread, which then enhances the cheese.
Some oil, oregano.
You're missing the steps of enhancement.
No.
Here.
Mm-mm.
All right, let's go, Bill and King of Prussia. Bill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bill.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen. How are you guys doing
tonight? What's up, Bill?
Not much. I'm going to try and get to each of your topics as quickly as possible because I know my time's limited. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if you're going to go cheese, yeah, you have to go grilled cheese. I mean, bacon and tomato on a grilled cheese, you're in. But my list of sandwiches, first would be the cheesesteak because there's so many ways to doctor it up. Second would be Italian hoagie. Third would be chicken cheesesteak. Fourth would be turkey hoagie with Thousand Island dressing. And fifth would be probably tuna hoagie.
What was your fourth?
A turkey hoagie with Thousand Island dressing.
Turkey hoagie with a thousand, that's like the turkey special, but in hoagie form?
More or less. I'm a huge Thousand Island fan, so I can do Reuben's with Thousand Island. I can do turkey with Thousand Island. I love it.
All right.
But on the Sixers, I'm going to have to go against you on this one, Mike, and agree with Tunis.
Okay.
I'd rather have Boston or Toronto in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think if you can get the Bucks with relatively fresh legs off a layoff, I think you're in much better shape to match up with them.
Why would you be in fresh legs and then they not be in fresh legs?
Oh, they might be in fresh legs, but I think we match up easier with them when we're healthier rather than have Joel Embiid after 2 weeks of playing games 18, 20 days.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be a better matchup for us.
You'd rather go Heat Bucks before you get to the finals, which could be Boston or Toronto.
I think talent-wise, I think we can beat either Toronto or Boston in the finals, just purely on talent.
Mm-hmm. I get that. I just thought, like, you seem to think it would be relatively easy to beat the Bucks in the second playoff series, and I'm not so sure because the Sixers have to find some kind of chemistry. I mean, that's what they say they were lacking. So, are they ready for the Bucks?
The only thing in that situation, Mike, is I think if they can mentally and physically get past the Heat roadblock, then I think they would go into the Bucks series with a ton of confidence. And I think their size and length matches up well with the Bucks. That's fair.
There are a lot of people that think like you do. A lot of people think the Sixers match up with the Bucks because of that one game where they smashed them. And I don't. I think the Bucks are a much better and deeper team than the 76ers.
Yes, I agree.
I think they've earned their place. And I think we're forgetting what their accomplishment has been this season.
Yeah, I agree. I still think it's a very tough matchup. But one of my points is, okay, so you play Toronto round two. Mm-hmm. And I know that people like sort of laugh at Toronto for some reason because they don't have Kawhi anymore. They're still the second seed in the Eastern Conference.
And they're very well coached.
Yes, and they still have had a great season. They still have great players with Pascal Siakam on that squad. We've seen Joel Embiid match up against Marc Gasol. It hasn't gone well.
No.
And we've seen him get beat up against guys like Marc Gasol, like the the European big man that plays real tough down low, right?
Yeah.
So you go then into a series. If you win that series, it's probably going to take 6 or 7 games, in my opinion. You then have to play Milwaukee after you beat Boston, which I know they match up well. That's not going to be the easiest series. Toronto's going to be a tough series. And now you're pretty much gassed when you play Milwaukee. You already don't have that great of a shot, fresh legs against Milwaukee. But now you're shot against Milwaukee? I don't think their chances are good. That's why I would rather see them earlier if I could see them in round 2.
You're taking a leap that the Sixers will have it together.
Yes. I hope that in these 8...
Which I think is a faulty leap.
I think the 8 tune-up games that they have, they will probably use a couple to really try to gear up for the playoffs. As the caller just said, I agree with him. If you can beat the Heat, and the Heat have won the season series against the Sixers, and obviously there's everything that surrounds Jimmy Butler and the Philadelphia 76ers. So if they can beat the Heat, beat Jimmy Butler, beat the Eric Spoelstra zone, maybe that is enough to really put this team together and then face the Bucks.
All right, let me give you the counterpoint. The counterpoint is this. They have to, and I think they've admitted this, have to develop some kind of a different way to find the ultimate chemistry. And that would include Shake Milton being incorporated into the whole process and reformulating the band thing. So do you think 8 games is enough to get them that to go into the playoffs and be ready in the second round for Milwaukee?
Tough question. Probably not. Probably not.
Well, that depends. I mean, that's the whole thing here, then.
And I don't know if you remember Jimmy Butler and J.J. Redick did the podcast together.
Uh-huh.
It was on J.J.'s podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much I could believe from everything Jimmy Butler said, but one of the things that they both talked about was once they got to the playoffs, Brett Brown took the ball out of Ben Simmons' hands and put it into Jimmy Butler's.
Right.
And I'm going to guess, by the way he spoke, that Ben Simmons wasn't happy about it.
No.
And that Jimmy Butler even questioned Brett Brown's decision.
Correct.
So now that's one thing if it's Jimmy Butler, who's a proven star in the league. It's the other if it's Shake Milton. But maybe there's not so much of an alpha thing with Shake Milton as opposed to Jimmy Butler. So maybe Ben signs off. Maybe they do a combination of who has the ball in their hands.
I got it. I'm just saying, you still have to play together to develop that kind of chemistry. 8 games is not enough. So you're blindly going into the playoffs thinking, okay, they're going to conquer this part.
I would hope that because of everything that's gone on and you really only have 8 games and like this is such a different style of NBA playoff. So hopefully they go, you know what? I'm buying in for this playoff.
Okay. All right. 610-632-0975. So when we get back, I'm going to play this audio and it's your decision on what you hear. Now, these guys, I think, are talking about this issue with Cam Newton earnestly. I think they think they're discussing it in an analytical form. But it's could in this day and age, it could come off differently. And so I was reading like awful announcing, right? And so it's under fire. So now I want you guys to hear it. And do you think when you hear this, do you think there's anything wrong when the subject they're talking about? And we'll do that after this. Mike Missanelli Show, 610-632-0975, back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's get Twitter poll update at 4:30 on the Mike Missanelli Show. And this is, of course, brought to us by Paulie Moyer and Sons with Natalie Eganoff. Matt.
Thanks, Mike. Over 700 votes on this one today. Should we expect players to sign a waiver where any member of their family cannot sue if they were to pass away from coronavirus? 34% say yes. 66% say no.
All righty. Thank you very much. All right. So He's very popular, this duo in Boston. I actually was on a show with the one guy, Felger. That was like when we were doing the live commentary on the Eagles games. What was that called? Fan Cred?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I was on with him.
The fourth quarter stuff, right?
Yes. His show is Felger and Maz. Now, he's been very controversial, that Felger guy up there.
Well, yeah,
for a while.
They were that was the Halliday.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
Felger was the one that said about Halliday.
Right, yeah. Okay.
All right, so now they're talking about Cam Newton being a Patriot and how his nature of celebrating is going to go over in Boston with Belichick. Now, I want you to hear this, and you decide whether they're touching on racial lines here. Again, it's a different climate. So, like, maybe a couple of years ago, you wouldn't have thought twice about this. But in today's climate, when you hear this, is it appropriate or not?
How about culture? Like, even something as simple and seemingly innocuous as the dapping, the supermanning, all the celebrating and showboating on the field. They don't want you doing that here. So Cam Newton has celebrated more than any player in the league maybe over the last decade. Something as simple and innocuous as that. Think he'll be able to contain it?
I think Bill's going to give him a little latitude on that one. That's what I think.
I hope he doesn't. I like that about the Patriots. I like that. I like that they don't ride each other like ponies after games or after touchdowns or whatever. I like that they don't waste our time.
Yeah, I don't know. This guy's a different kind of cat, though.
No dice. No dice on the Superman.
I bet you they allow it, or I bet you... Put it this way.
That would piss me off.
I shouldn't say allow it, because I'm not... I don't think Bill will, quote-unquote, sign off on it.
So wait a minute.
He'll do it, though.
They won't let Dorsett ride Gronkowski like a pony. Rob Gronkowski... Hall of Famer, hugely important to multiple championships. He can't screw around, but Cam Newton can?
He's the quarterback.
Oh, feh.
He's the quarterback.
Ah, oh, please.
Gronk's a tight end.
Don't tell me that.
Shut up and block.
I don't want that.
Shut up and block.
Shut up and take the next snap.
This guy, you're going to see it. Do you think this guy can contain himself? Do you really think that?
I'd like to think so.
On the field, like, just celebrating?
I'd like to think so.
In terms of what he wears, and again, is he dabbing in the end zone, or is he giving the Superman thing? I don't know, but...
No Superman. I don't want to see Superman. But Bill doesn't want to see Superman. He didn't want you taunting the opponent like that.
Okay, but let's say that Newton does it. Whose fault is it then?
Newton.
Bill's.
Newton.
Bill.
Don't. Superman. We don't do that here.
Bill, like, all of a sudden the guy's going to change at this stage of his career. He's been in the league 10 years.
That's what they ask.
He does a Superman thing every time.
That's what they ask of you.
So I just think the Patriots are being naive on that one.
All right. So is that conversation about the culture of Bill Belichick and the fact that he's a disciplined coach who doesn't allow that? Or is that about being down on the celebration that a black quarterback has kind of made mainstream?
I think it's intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the part that you can hone in on is when he says they ride each other like ponies initially. And then he goes back and he says if Gronkowski wants, you know, then he won't be allowed. So they're already creating a divide there.
I think they tried to do that.
That's,
with the pony thing.
Right,
like that's what they're referring to. Like,
but he's saying
that Belichick cancel out. That
right, that was an old celebration.
Right, but he's saying are they going to be allowed to? Right, is that what he said in the beginning?
No, he was using that example of like if he wouldn't allow Gronkowski to goof around, he's not going to allow Cam Newton, and it's more Belichickian than it. Like, I think his intention is to say Belichick doesn't put up with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But in this day and age, if you put that under a hot light, what he's basically saying is he doesn't like Cam Newton to be a celebratory type of guy. And that may come off in this climate as racially tinged. Even though I don't think it's his intention to do that. This is an example, I think, of a sports talk radio host has to be a lot more careful today.
Well, that's what I mean, because it almost seems like there's an instinctive divide there between the two.
Yeah, I think he's primarily, though, going behind the Belichick method.
Oh, yeah.
And saying, Bill, the reason why they're successful is Bill has good discipline when it comes to stuff like that. That's what I think his intention.
Now, what's interesting is an old video of Belichick, like, speaking to his team popped up where he is pro celebration, but I'm guessing there are some things that cross the line.
Hey, I think you hear that. Isn't that an anti-Cam thing? or is that a pro Patriots
so I wonder
analysis,
Mike, and you know, I don't know what you think about this. They're used to 20 years of Tom Terrific, right? Who threw a touchdown, yelled and screamed in celebration, and went back to the sideline and gave high fives.
And they're used to Belichick.
Right. Whereas Cam Newton is a player that, you know, expressed, he even brought up the clothing, but Cam Newton's also a player who expressed himself on the field.
Like
when he makes a good play, he wants to celebrate about it. I don't think he's the only player that celebrates when he makes a good play.
Yeah. Now, the backdrop of this, of course, is the all the kind of racist news that has come out lately about Boston as a city and Boston fans. So, you know, that all that has to be thrown into the mix here. All right, let's get back to the phones. Jerome in Elkins Park. What's up, Jerome?
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good. I'm going to talk on your sacred ground, Mike. Uh-huh. Let me just early say, I don't know how far pro sports can get with the present, you know, climate. But I appreciate them all, I guess, making the attempt. Now, baseball to me, the problem that I see it from a novice of novice is that it's too predictable. I mean, when the shift comes on, and I've heard your, you know, explanation, but it's almost like it's premeditated. You see the guy's a shift, you know the guy's a pull hitter, pulls there, and it's like, boom. I mean, I was a National League guy, but I think it's time for the DH, because how much do I really want to see a pitcher try to
hit? You're going to see the DH.
What?
The DH has already been decided.
Yeah, but I mean permanent.
Yeah, they'll carry it through.
Because it's offense.
Well, let's talk about the shifts first of all, though. When it helps your team, do you like it?
Not really. Look.
Well, how do I not like it if it helps your team?
It's
strategy.
I know you come from that purist type of.
No, I really don't. I'm looking at.
You know what the basic thing is? You first have to do is get people interested. Like, if you want to take and go, be in the sun, drink a beer, and fall asleep watching baseball, smoke a cigarette, that's fine. But you want to keep people's interest. I mean, what happened to the stolen base? Hey, what happened with the hit and run?
Well,
why didn't really gumming stuff up to try to have everybody?
You're more of an old school guy than I am. I don't care, but I could care less about the hit and run or the stolen base.
Well, I do, because that's activity. That's things that make things happen. You can almost, a novice watch one game, see the shift, say Ryan Howard.
But you know yourself, Jerome. Things evolve, right? Now, do you have a problem when they load?
Everything but that
all right, they load the box in football to stop the run against a running team. You want them to get rid of that?
That, but then you take and you get yourself a possession receiver.
Okay. Well, then you during the shift, you hit the ball the other way.
Well, how many guys are going to do that?
How many guys are going to do that? That you shouldn't make an excuse for them if they don't want to do it.
Well, I don't think you should take and gum up the works to take and look, yawn. Guy is waiting strategically, sit in the hole waiting for the ball to come to him. If a pitcher is good
enough
to
get... It's a strategy.
How do you not reward
the team that comes up with that to get an out?
Come on. Analytics with an A?
This is not analytics. They were doing this to Ted Williams back in the day. Ted Williams is a dead pole hitter. They pulled a shift on him. He said, I'll just hit through the shift. Or you can learn to hit it the other way and have an easy hit. Now, I know it's harder for baseball players of habit to try to change their style and hit the ball the other way. But if you're going to let eight men in the box, well, what do? You get a possession receiver. Okay, you adapt. You adapt to what they're doing. In every sport, including the NBA, where they brought back the zone defense, right? If you can use that to your advantage, why would they take away a strategy from you? For what? What reason?
Yeah, it makes no sense.
It makes no sense. How many times did the Phillies put the shift on against people? When Chase Utley was in that situation. Nobody ever noticed Chase Utley's in a shift, did they?
Right, he was always sort of in the outfit. Steps back.
And then somebody hit a smash into the area. Well, Chase Utley was right there. Oh, I like the shift. Look at that. He's a defensive genius. Come on with this shift. People are getting obsessed with this damn shift. I don't understand it.
Also, that ruined the game.
And the bunt. The bunt stinks. All right? The bunt stinks. You give it, like, where is it good to give away an out? You're not in Little League or lower level. This is Major League Baseball. Well, you drive a damn guy in from second base.
I do miss the hit and run.
Stupid. The hit and run's stupid.
I need more Placido Polanco's in my life.
Now, the only time the bunt now could be in play is this extra inning rule, where I guess if you're playing for one run to win the game, you give up an out. But the analytics part of why give them an out is actually progressive thought. Now the pitchers won't have to bat, so you won't have the second phase even pitcher. You will see less and less bunts, and it's going to be better for the game.
Now we got Jay Bruce. Jay Bruce can be hitting home runs.
610-6320. That damn shift. Hey, get rid of it. Solve all baseball's problems. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4:45, Mike Missinelli Show. We get some NBA news, Andrew?
Yeah, nothing crazy but surprising from Adrian Wojnarowski. The NBA is closing in on signing off on a second bubble, but this will be in Chicago for the 8 teams that were not invited to play in Orlando, enabling mini training camps and subsequent games against other clubs with a target date of September. Sources telling ESPN's Jackie McMullen.
What about those teams?
I don't know.
What's the point of that?
I don't know. Somebody responded right away. It's hilarious. So basically the NIT. Like, that's what it is.
Why would those teams even be interested in doing that?
Do they think that it's a disadvantage for the next season? I guess.
I can't figure that out. I'd have to get more info on that. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, that's why I don't get.
All right. Well, whatever. Maybe there's some teams the owners bitch that they weren't included. I don't know.
I wonder if they look at it like, all right, so there's not going to be a summer league this year, so this should be our sort of tune-up time.
How do they think the players would feel about that?
Yeah,
players want to play in that?
There's players that are opting out of this, the playoffs.
I don't understand.
I'm sure there will be players that will opt out of that.
Sure, we'll hear more about that. All right, let me just add one thing on this bunt thing. So you already know there's an anti-bunt mentality in baseball because nouveau managers are loathed to give up outs unless it's a pitcher. In the American League, how many bunts do you think? How many bunts have you seen?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Very little. Right. So already there's that backdrop. Now let's look at the people who get into professional baseball in the first place. So if you're a high school player and you get signed, and you're not a pitcher, you're getting signed for what?
Your bat.
Because you can hit.
Yes.
Okay. So, and you're hitting with what?
Power.
And you're hitting with a metal bat.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So now let's get to the college. Have you ever watched a college game these days? How many bunts do you ever see in a college?
Very little.
And that's, here's two reasons. Well, the one main reason is the metal bat. Because if you're a manager, you go, with this metal bat, he can hit it off the end and put it in a gap and score a run, so I don't have to bunt. And besides that, when you try to bunt with a metal bat, and you've done it, right? The ball pops off the metal bat, and the pitcher throws you out.
Yeah, you can tell the difference.
You can't even put the bunt in the right spot to get a sacrifice down. Yeah, so all these kids now that are getting signed have no familiarity with bunting. And so that plays right into the mentality, the bunt is bad. So the old school guys, they go, oh, why don't they bunt? These guys weren't bunters. Like back in the old day, you get the guy with the thick bat who played second base, you know, that type of dude, and he would sacrifice. It's different these days. The metal bat has spawned a different generation of hitters that get signed because they're hitters, not bunters, and because the bunt off a metal bat is not that safe a thing to do.
Yeah, that's a good point. You got to catch the baseball, right? That's what they always taught us when I was growing up with the metal bat.
It pops off the bat, and the pitcher moves three steps to his left, and that's it. Then he throws the guy out of second base. All right, let's go Victor in Southwest Philly. Victor, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Victor.
Hey, Mike, how you feeling?
What's up, Vic? How you doing?
I'm all right. Can't complain. Listen, I got a question for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
In your opinion, what's the best cheesesteak spot in Philly?
John's Roast Pork.
John's Roast Pork?
On Front in Oregon.
Front in Oregon? Okay. I might got to get at a try.
You've got to try it. It's the best.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people would say DeLisandro's. I had Chubby's. Chubby's wasn't so bad.
I guarantee you, if you go to John's Roast Pork, you will redefine your cheesesteak taste.
Oh, okay, I got you.
It's Front Snyder. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Oregon. Snyder.
Okay, so would you say they got the best hoagies, too?
They don't do hoagies. They do roast pork and cheesesteaks. I don't know if they're hoagie. They're more of a cheesesteak roast pork place.
Okay. But to this Cam Newton thing, I mean, from the audio, it's kind of hard to judge. But if I was listening correctly, I would think it's more like, you know, that Bill Belichick doesn't want him to celebrate, or the organization doesn't allow over excess to celebrate. Even though, if the organization do have rules like that, I think is very petty. I mean, listen, you gotta let these guys play, man, and let them celebrate. I mean, it's part of sports. So
I agree 100%.
I didn't.
Who cares what they do?
I didn't take it as a racial thing. So,
uh-huh.
I mean,
you took it as a Belichickian thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was their intention. But again, it points out, like, sometimes you say stuff and it can come off a certain way these days, you know? You gotta be careful.
Yeah, and as far as the Sixers go, man, I honestly really don't care where they go, because I really don't want these players out on the floor playing, risking their lives, you know, putting their families in danger anyway. But if you want an opinion on that, only reason why I'm not going to say, you know, we're going to beat the Bucks is just on the strength of Brett Brown. Now, we're not as deep as Milwaukee. I think our starting five, when they're on the floor, can, you know, probably match up with them. Because as you can see, like, throughout the regular season, when our starting five is actually playing together, you know, we could do some good. But I don't think Brett Brown can coach us to beat the Bucks. I mean,
they actually don't have the talent to beat the Bucks either. All right. So let's add this little tidbit here. Because I have great trust in Vegas and the people that study the game and set lines. And you do too, right?
Yes.
Okay. Vegas has just made the Milwaukee Bucks an 83% chance to win the NBA title.
That's screw Vegas.
What?
Screw Vegas.
Oh.
It's 83%. So now you're telling me Sixers beat the Bucks in the second round?
This is to win the title?
Yeah. Win the title, 83%.
Not just the East. Win the title.
83% win the title.
Wow. Sixers and five.
Stick to your guns, man. Stick to your guns. Myself, I need a little more convincing.
Okay.
Dyson and Wayne, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dyson.
Mike and Miss Anelli, I'm sorry. Hopefully I don't disrupt the current flow of your conversation, but I wanted to chime in on that hoagie talk.
Sure, go ahead, Dyson.
I was a little hungry on the way at work, so I figured I'd chime in.
All right.
So I got four hoagies for you that I want to get your opinion on. I know they don't break the top five, but these are four good sandwiches that I think anybody would like.
Okay.
You got the chicken parm, you got the sausage and peppers, you got the eggplant parm, and then you got the meatball sub. So do any of those qualify as like a solid top five contender?
The meatball sub has to be a very special meatball, and I don't think that anybody who sells a meatball sub has a very special meatball. They're usually hard.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, the eggplant parm hoagie, too much bread.
Okay,
that's bread on bread. All right, what else did you say? The sausage and pepper, always a hit with me. Especially, I get that sausage and pepper at the kiosk at the ballpark. It's on the money. All right, and what else?
And then the last one was a chicken parm.
Chicken parm, again, it's bread and bread. Like, I'll get chicken parm separate. I don't usually go chicken parm sandwich or hoagie.
Totally understand that.
But, you know, listen, chicken parm is good if it's made right. Don't get me wrong. It's, you can't go, you're not going to turn it away. I just wouldn't put it in my top five.
Totally understood. And lastly, what do you think about a grilled cheese? So what kind of cheese do you put on a grilled cheese? And do you eat that with tomato soup? Because I say yes on the tomato soup, and it's got to be cheddar cheese.
Yeah, that's the old high school thing. Where you had the cheddar grilled cheese with the tomato soup, and you dunk it. Yeah, that's that never goes bad. That's like Americana.
That's the ultimate combination. Well, anyway, happy fourth to all of you there, and I guess we'll talk to you next time.
All right, Dyson, you guys. See, I never take a chance with a meatball sub.
See, I sometimes crave one, and we'll do it.
Yeah, I got to trust the meatball.
Are those hot?
Like, I've got to make the meatball sub myself to have a meatball sub. Like, I can't go to one. All due respect. Because a lot of people love the Wawa meatball sub. Nah.
I love a good sausage and peppers.
You say sausage and peppers when it's done right. It has to be on the grill. You have to see it on the grill. You have to,
so
like,
good.
You see, it's got to be a good sausage.
Mm-hmm. But you still categorize that as a hoagie?
That's what I was just going to say.
No. He was breaking outside the hoagie realm. But
yeah, the chicken parm is not a hoagie. It's a
sandwich that still goes in a hoagie roll.
Yes.
I think he was going with that.
I've done the chicken parm with a long hot in the roll. That's a quality item.
Yeah, a lot of people like that. It's bread versus bread to me. You know? It's an overdose of bread. And the eggplant parm, no, I can't do eggplant parm hoagie.
Yeah, I'll just do the eggplant parm on itself.
All right, 610-632-0975. 5 o'clock hours ahead on a Thursday. Mike Masnell Show back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.